Era... Okay. What about your wife? Is she still teaching you?
Yes, she was teaching here at Johnson Elementary School. Okay, as a matter of fact, let me extend it out to my retirement. She was, when I was stationed here, I was stationed here for 3 years, and she was teaching at Johnson Elementary School. I had orders to go to Germany, but this was the time that I was contemplating retirement, and I wanted to keep the home that we were living in at the time, which was before I moved here, the home up there on Moore Avenue, and I wanted to leave them here so they could get everything prepared for my retirement. So I went to Germany. I stayed there 2 years unaccompanied in order to retire when I wanted to. If I had taken them with me, I would have had to stay 3 to 4 years. But I didn't take them, and I stayed 2 years, and I came back here in June of 82, and I retired July 1st, 82. From Fort McClellan, right out here. The rest was history of the civilian.
Right. And what do you think, what kind of effect you had on your family? Just your wife and your children, no one went to you here.
Right, when I left them here, right. I depended mostly on church people. They told me, you know, that don't worry, my church family, and I didn't, because I knew them, and I didn't worry about them. They were in good hands with my then pastor and pastor's wife and a lot of good Christian friends. I left them, and of course, in the hand of the Lord, and that made my tour bearable. Mm-hmm.
And you just didn't have any faith in your marriage?
It didn't have Yes, I would say it. That's when I realized that it was after all these separations going here and there. I never realized until this that last one, and I think it was because of the tension of preparing for retirement. I was getting ready to become a civilian, which I hadn't been for 22 years, and it had some adverse effects as far as my wife's attitude when I finally came out of the army, because I was hardcore, I guess you might say, with my children, more so than I was when I was in the army, because I was hardly around. She had control.
Right.
But when I retired, in other words, I took control, because there were some things that I saw happening that I would go along with. In other words, not knowing how to say no to my children when they asked for something.
Right.
And I couldn't go along with that.
And so... after you got out of retired and you came here, what did you do? Did you take your job being a civil servant?
No. As a matter of fact, when I retired from the Army, I applied for civil service or federal government work. I applied for dining facility work out at Fort McClellan as a civilian food service attendant. I wasn't successful in any of that at the time, and I applied for warehouse manager work at then Rose Furniture, which is now Holly Meyer Furniture, and that's where I was hired as a warehouse manager, and I managed 3 warehouses of furniture and appliances. I might add, successfully with I was in charge of all drivers, delivery people, and some of the floor people. I worked there for about 15 months, and they found out that I had a sales pitch, because sometimes they would sell an item on the floor, and when they came down to me to pick it up, I would sell them something higher by showing it to them. And they said, oh, you're in the wrong place. You don't need to be in the warehouse. You need to be on the floor.
Right.
I didn't want to go to the floor because I knew what it was about. It was about commission.
Right.
I didn't consider myself a salesman. They considered that because of what I was doing in the warehouse. I loved where I was. I loved what I was doing. I was managing people in the warehouse. Yeah. I was keeping my furniture well awake, my inventory. I was in charge of inventory.
Yeah.
I liked that. But they felt that I could do the company better by being on the floor after seeing what I was doing in the warehouse. Well, I did the first year. That was one problem with working floors. You might know about commissions. The more you sell, the more they want you to sell.
Right.
Okay, so you can hit the ceiling sometimes, and then again you can hit the floor sometimes. They don't want you to hit the floor. And sometimes you gotta hit the floor. There were times that when I made sales in another month, the very next month I didn't sell anything through no fault of my own.
Right.
Because when people come to the store, they you have to walk them through. It might take all day for them to decide, but you have to stick with those particular customers. I don't care who else comes in. You stick with the customers you're with. They might want everything in the store. And then the problem comes when they apply for credit. You send them away and tell them to come back in a certain amount of hours and come back and find out. The credit is terrible. I have walked the floor for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours with these people. And it, to the company, it means nothing because the credit is moving with. I have done nothing as far as they're concerned. That wasn't considered anything because I didn't sell. That's the way they looked at it. And it sort of started to unnerve me a little bit because I didn't understand why they couldn't understand after being in the business. They were the business people. Why did I get some credit for being with these people all these hours? And anticipating sales just like they were, but the credit didn't come through. And now, well, you just go back and talk with the next couple. You're batting zero right now. And that's the way they looked at it. So after about a year of that, I just decided it wasn't for me. And I had a talk with the manager, and I told him that if I couldn't go back to the warehouse, then he could terminate me. Well, they had hired a new warehouse manager, and he was doing good, and so was all the guys. They wanted me back, but the warehouse manager was doing good, and they had no ground to get rid of, and I wouldn't have had that anyway. And I didn't quit, because if I quit, I couldn't draw unemployment. I let them terminate me, and I drew unemployment, and I went to work at Regional Medical Center, got back in food service, went back to what I knew about. And I managed the kitchen there at the Regional Medical Center. I went there in December of 86, and I worked there until August of 87, which is when I was called to the Hamilton Army Depot to work. I've been there ever since.
And how long were you and your wife together after?
After this,
yeah.
We were together. This was in 87?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After that, my wife became kind of ill, and we didn't know what the problem was. We thought it was appendix. And she would go to the doctor and have them prescribe stuff for appendix and everything. We went home and July, had a family reunion in July of 89, and she was so sick from the trip, because we had to go all the way from here to the opposite direction, going to Fort Stewart, Georgia, to pick up a nephew that was going home for the reunion, drive all the way back across Georgia, all the way back across Alabama, across Mississippi, and she became ill from the trip, or not necessarily from the trip, but we didn't know that she was ill, terminally ill. And when we got home for the family reunion, this was 4th of July weekend of 89, she was too sick to even attend the family reunion. She stayed with her sister, and we all, me and the girls, we brought her back here and took her to the doctor. And that's when we found out that it wasn't, well, we made an appointment, and she went in for an operation for appendicitis. And that when they operated on her, they found out that she had cancer that had spread everywhere. And at the time that I was at work, her mother was here, though, that's why at work. Her mother was here, her sisters and everything. They told me just going to work, you know, they didn't want to lose my job. And they would take care of her, but they called me at the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, the doctor told me that she was terminally ill, that cancer had spread, and that there was nothing he could do. They were going to take as much of it out as possible and pull it back up. And when they did that, they called me back in there and told me that she had from 3 to 6 months to live. You know, of course, they give you advice on make sure everything you do is positive. You know, well, they didn't have to tell me that. You know, I always did that anyway. But anyway, she lived. This was in July. She lived 2 months. She died September 9th of 89.
Of what kind?
I can't remember. Think of it. Had started in this little area that you hardly ever hear anything about it. And I can't, it'll come to me. I can never think of the area, but it had spread from there to livers, which caused yellow jaundice, and liver and all the vital parts that had already contracted that.
And then after your wife died, did you and your children?
It was just me and my children. They were in college at the time. The two girls were in college, and Lee was still back home with his mother at the time. And they were at college up at Jack State. And that's when I was here alone, actually, and for a long time. And that's when I met my present wife, Bunny, through mutual visits. She called and see how I was doing, always concerned. I didn't even know her at the time, but I had seen her at church. And she would call through a friend of hers, which was a friend of my first wife. Matter of fact, the lady is still her friend, but she was at the time my first wife's best friend too. She introduced me to Bonnie. That's how we met. And we dated for 18 months. And I left here. I was involved in what's called a RIF, reduction in force. It's a RIF at my present job site. And I had to leave here. They found me a job down in South Georgia. I left her here in an apartment, and I left my girls with her. And then I found out I couldn't buy a home down there, so I moved them back. I moved Bunny and my girls back into this house. They stayed here while I was commuting back and forth from 6.5 hour drive down to South Georgia. And in May of 81. We got married.
So, and you all have been married since. And she has how many children?
She has two. She has Kevin, you met him in church, and she has Sabrina, she's in Georgia. And each one of them have one child each.
And how many grandchildren do you
have? I told, counting their two, I have 15 grandchildren.
Wow.
15.
Boy, that's a lot too.
Yeah, Sharon has 5. Mm-hmm. Natasha has 5. April has 3, including a set of twins. And Kevin has 1, and Sabrina has 1. Total of 15.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I love every one of them.
I know.
They keep me going.